Welcome to another biblical teaching from People's Church. If you haven't already done so, we would love for you to subscribe to our podcast. That way you can get notified when new content becomes available. As the church during this time, we may not be able to meet in large numbers, but there's a world that needs reaching and a kingdom that needs building. So our mission continues. We hope the following message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. I hope you guys are well this morning. Last week, we had a powerful message on the subject of trusting God. And this morning, I'm going to be continuing within the same theme and just talking about looking at trust this morning. And the title of my message this morning is Stunted Shrubs and Towering Trees. If you have your Bible with you, kindly turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. We will read from verse 5 to verse 10. And so I'm going to read and then afterwards I'll pray for us. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. So this is how it reads. Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness, in an uninhibited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a river bank, with roots that run deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord God. We thank you for waking us up this morning, Father. We don't take that for granted. There's so many people, Father God, that we're not able to wake up this morning, but you have given us the privilege, Lord, to be able to see your goodness in this day. We pray, Father God, for your word, Lord, this morning as we are about to unpack, Father God, your word. We pray that you speak into our lives. We pray that you speak to each and every one of us what you want to say to us, Lord God. And we pray that you use this word and this message, Father God, to transform our lives, to be the people that you want us to be, Lord God. And we pray, Father, for those that are anxious, for those that are afraid right now, Lord God. We pray that you may touch them, that you may strengthen them. We pray, Holy Spirit, Father, that you may encourage them in this moment. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Stunted shrubs and towering trees. Very interesting topic, if I need to say so myself. And basically what I'll do, this message this morning, I'm basically reading from the New Living Translation. And I'll just break it down to three segments and then make a couple of comments on each of the segments. So the first one, we just look at the first two verses, verse 5 and verse 6. And this is what the Lord says. It says, cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert, with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhibited, salty land. Very interesting and graphic. So basically what God does here is that he makes a comparison and he contrasts two kinds of people in terms of when it comes to trust. There are people who place their trust on people and human beings and their own strength. And there are people who place their trust in the Lord. And he says the first kind of person, that person is cursed, you know, and he goes into detail, you know, and he gives us a picture of what that person is like. And he just gives us a picture of a shrub, a small little stunted shrub in the desert, in the wilderness, in the harshest conditions. And this shrub, I can just imagine, it has no color, you know, because of the conditions that it is in. It is this small fluffy thing that is in the desert. And God says, the person who places their trust in human beings, the person who relies on human strength and ability and turns their hearts away from the Lord, that person is like that shrub. in the desert. Imagine in the desert, one of the things that we look for if you ever find yourself in the desert is a shade. And you see all of these shrubs that are so small, they cannot even provide any shade. And he says that person is like that shrub. They are not useful to anyone. They cannot even provide shade to a person who is looking for shade. This shrub, you know, is in those conditions that are barren. This shrub cannot even produce. This shrub is not healthy. This shrub cannot grow. Now think about it spiritually. This is what God is saying about a person who places their confidence and their trust in human beings and in their own strength, is that spiritually they do not even grow. Spiritually they are dwarfs. You know, they remain unhealthy. They cannot even be productive. They cannot generate fruits. And this is the person that God likens, the person who places their confidence in God. The third thing that God says is that this person has no hope for the future. They think that the thing that they are trusting on is unreliable. And in the end, it will ultimately lead to their disappointment. And it just reminds me of what God says in Jeremiah chapter 2, the beginning of this book. Jeremiah chapter 2 from verse 13, this is what God says. He says, I'm making a case against my people. I'm making a case against the nation of Israel. And this is what God says is his case against them. Verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 2. This is what God says. He says, for my people have committed two evils. The first one is that they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And the second one is that they have hewn or created for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. This is what people have done. This is what we have done. This is what the human race has done, is that we have forsaken him, the creator. We have forsaken him, the source. And he says, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Imagine with me. We have forsaken the fountain of living fresh water that is always flowing, and we wanted to create for ourselves a cistern. A cistern is a system of water that is static, that is stagnant, that does not move. You know, we have forsaken fresh water for water that is stagnant, that is not even fresh. And more than that, you know, we have forsaken him who is the fountain of living water, and we've created for ourselves broken system that cannot even hold any water. This is what God is saying about a person who has placed their confidence in themselves or in other people, is that they have no hope for the future. Now imagine with me, we are in a situation right now where there are droughts in so many parts of the country. Imagine if we were to be told, you know, that there is going to be a very severe drought in such and such a time, and then that gives us time to prepare ourselves. And imagine a person who wants to prepare for that drought, and they buy a JoJo tank, you know, a big and nice JoJo tank, and then they place it in their property. And then to prepare for the drought that is coming, they begin to save water in the JoJo tank. They begin to store water. Maybe over a period of months, they just keep on putting more and more water in the tank, for the hope that this water is going to help them when the drought comes. Now imagine that this person does not know that the tank that they bought actually has holes at the bottom. And as they are continuing to save the water, to put more water in, the water is actually escaping from the bottom of the tank. Imagine now the time comes when the drought arrives, you know, and the person thinks they are set, they are sorted. They have a storage of water that will last them until the drought passes. And then this person now goes into his JoJo tank, and they want to get some of the water out, and they realize that at that moment that this tank that they've been saving water in is actually broken. It has holes at the bottom. There is no water. There is just mud in the tank. Imagine the disappointment. Imagine the feelings of despair. Imagine the feelings of desperation, because now the drought is upon you, and now the time is too late. There is no time to save more water. Now you need the water, and you find that the thing that you had placed your confidence in, the thing that you had trusted in, actually let you down. This is what God is saying. He's saying that person has no hope for the future. You know, the thing that you are trusting on may not disappoint you today. It may not disappoint you tomorrow. But in the end, ultimately, invariably, it will always lead to your disappointment. And this is the image that God gives us, you know, that these people have forsaken him. We have forsaken him as well, you know, and we are building for ourselves our own water cisterns, you know, but they are broken, that cannot hold any water. And this is the person that God says is a person who places their confidence in anything other than him, that this person is cursed. You know, this person is like that stunted shrub in the wilderness, in a barren place where they cannot be productive. And so we turn now to the second portion where I think verse 7 to verse 8, where God now talks about the second kind of person. And he says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees that are planted along a riverbank with roots that run deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green. They never stop producing fruit. Imagine, this is stark contrast. This is a complete opposite of the first kind of person. He says the person now who puts their trust and their confidence in God is completely opposite. The first person was like a stunted shrub in the wilderness, very small, scruffy little thing in the desert, you know. But this person who has placed their confidence and their trust in the Lord, they are like a tree that is planted next to a river bank, you know, whose roots go down deep into the water source. And this person has no reason to be afraid of the things that are happening. And it says this person is like that tree, and that tree is always green. That tree is healthy. That tree grows up, you know. That tree is nice and tall. That tree is matured. And this is the person that God likens, a person who has placed their confidence in the Lord. There's two things that he also says. He says this tree is not bothered by the heat, and this tree is not worried by long months of drought. Imagine, you know, that there's things that are happening, that there's heat, you know, there's climates and conditions that are adverse to the tree producing, but this tree is not worried. That there are long months of drought, you know, but this tree is not bothered. This tree is not afraid. This tree is not worried. Think about what is happening right now in the whole world, you know, that there might be people who are afraid. There might be people who are panicking right now, but the people that have placed their confidence in the Lord is saying those people need not to be bothered, need not to be worried, because they know whom they have believed. They know whom they have placed their trust and their confidence in. And he says those people are blessed. Here's another thing that is very interesting that God says. He says, just because you are blessed, just because you are called, just because you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, that does not mean that bad things are not going to happen in your life. He says, even for this tree, there was heat. Even for this tree, there was long months of drought. But this tree was not worried because of the source that it was connected to. And this reminds me of David in Psalm chapter 23, verse 4, when he says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are right close beside me. And this is so beautiful, because David is acknowledging the fact that even though the Lord is with him, he might still walk through the valleys of deep darkness. Things might still happen in his life that are beyond his control. But even in those situations, even in those times, he will not be afraid, because the Lord is right close by me. Imagine, it's like that tree saying, if that tree could speak, that tree saying that even though there are hot months, even though there are long months of drought, but I will not be afraid, because you, stream of living water, are right close beside me. Be encouraged this morning that even though, you know, we might be going through a difficult time right now as a nation, even though we might be in times of crisis, that we do not need to be afraid, because the Lord is the one who is right close beside us. Even though darkest valleys may come, bad situations may happen in our lives, but you and I, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry, for he's close beside us. His presence in your life and in my life makes all the difference. And the other thing that he says is that he says this tree is fruitful all year round. It doesn't matter what season it is. This tree continues to produce fruit. This tree continues to bear fruit, you know. And so it speaks into our lives as well, that even though we might be in this time, in this situation right now, that we do not need to stop producing. We do not need to stop being fruitful. We can still continue to be fruitful. We can still continue to do what God has called us to do, even though we are locked in our own homes right now. But we can still produce fruit, because we are not worried. We are not afraid of what is happening around us. And The last thing is that the person who places their trust and their confidence in the Lord, they are never disappointed. That God is reliable. That God is like a sure foundation that we can build our lives upon Him. We will never be disappointed. And let me leave you with this question this morning. Where is your trust? You know, as we go through what is happening right now in the world, as you go through also what is happening in your life, maybe it is a family situation, maybe it is a situation at work. Where is your trust? Where have you placed your trust? Let me remind you, false trust will always lead to your disappointment. If you place your trust in people, if you place your trust in your own abilities, if you place your trust in systems, if you place your trust even in your bank account, you will always be disappointed. But the person who places their trust in the Lord will never be disappointed. This is the thing, that you might not be disappointed today. You know, you might not be disappointed tomorrow. But in the end, make no mistake, you will be disappointed if you place your trust on the wrong thing. And there will come a day when the curtain will come down, when the music stops, and when time runs out. And in that moment, everyone will be able to see. Everything will be revealed as it really is. And some people will realize that they live their whole lives trusting on the wrong things. And some people will be glad that they placed their trust in the right one. Do not get to a place where time runs out and you find that you placed your trust on the wrong thing. Make the right decision. Make it now. What are you trusting on? What if that thing that you are trusting on doesn't deliver on its promise? Is your trust placed on the ability of the scientists to find the vaccine right now? Is your trust placed upon the government? Is your trust, you know, placed upon the store of food and drinks that you have for yourself? That hope will always be short-lived. It will always lead to your disappointment in the end. And almost as if just randomly, God now turns to a completely something that looks completely unrelated to what he's talking about. The first thing he said, this is a person who places their trust in people and who places their trust in other things. That person is cursed. And he says, blessed is the person who places their confidence and their trust in the Lord. And then now he turns to something that almost looks unrelated and unconnected to what he has just been talking about. Look at this, verse 9 and 10. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all the hearts and examine secret motives. I give to all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. There is a sickness, you know, for which there is no cure and there is no vaccine. That sickness is the condition of your heart and my heart. God says the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Imagine that for a moment, that in all the things that are in all of creation, that your heart and my heart is the only thing that is the most deceitful above everything else. Who can know it? And the answer is surely not us. We cannot know our heart. But God says, but I know it. I know your heart. I am the one who searches the heart. I am the one who tests the mind. I know the secret motives, you know, behind the actions that we do. Let me encourage you. Do not say at this moment, let me trust in God so that this crisis might pass. You know, that I want my life to be great. I want my life to go back to normal. So for me to be able to do that, let me seek God. Let me trust in God. Because God knows the motives. He says, I know the motives. I know the secret motives of your heart. And I will give you according to what your actions deserve. God wants us to turn to Him with all of our hearts. God wants us to turn to Him because we love Him. Because we realize that He is God and we are not. We realize that we are in desperate need for Him. He doesn't want us to turn to Him just because of a crisis that we are in. He doesn't want us to turn to Him because of anything that He can bring into our lives. He wants us to turn to Him because of love that we have for Him. Let me encourage you to say that let us seek God while He may be found. Let us seek Him while He is near. Let us seek Him with all of our hearts, not just because of this crisis, but because we realize our need and we recognize our need for God. And in conclusion, ultimately what God is talking about in this passage of scripture is the matter of your soul. And the question is, when it comes to the salvation of your soul, where are you placing your confidence and your trust in? Are you placing your confidence in your own ability to be good? Are you placing your trust upon your own ability to fulfill the law? Where are you placing your confidence and your trust in? Are you trusting on what you can do for yourself, or are you trusting on what God has already done for you? So one of those two things is a false trust, and it will lead to your disappointment. Why don't you use these 21 days of lockdown to get right with God? Why don't you use this time to seek the Lord? You know, while you have all the opportunity in your house. As a church, we want to do everything that we can to make sure that your faith is strengthened even during this time of crisis. And so there's three things that I would like to leave you with this morning, that I'd like to leave you as with you as encouragements. And the first one, and quickly, do not isolate yourself. I know this sounds like, you know, a statement that is contradicting what the government is saying. That's not what I'm saying. Even though we may not be able to meet physically together, do make sure that you do not isolate yourself. I am convinced of this, that in this time of lockdown, in this time when we cannot even meet physically, that we can actually get to a place where we are more connected than we have ever been before. There's tools, there's technologies, there's cell phones, you know, there's the internet. We can make sure that we are more connected now than we have ever been connected before. Why don't you make a decision right now to say, I'm not going to go through this lockdown on my own. I'm not going to isolate myself and just be lonely by myself. I'm going to reach out to someone. I'm going to start a conversation. I'm going to pick up my phone call. I'm going to pick up my phone. If you do not have a virtual small group that you are a part of, talk to us and we'll make sure that you are part of a small group. We'll make sure that you are connected to a community of people that will care for you during this time. The second thing is, be part of the Bible reading plan. On Friday, we started a 21-day Bible reading plan, whereby we'll take the 21 days of lockdown and we'll be reading through the book of Acts. I would encourage you, be part of that. The beauty of it is that we are going through it together. We are not just doing it on our own in our own houses, you know, but we are doing it together. We discuss it afterwards. We engage on it. So go to your Bible app. Add People's Church Bulukwane as a friend on the Bible app or even on the website. And then we will send you a request to join the Bible reading plan. That is the second thing. And the third thing, and finally, be part of the 21-day nonstop prayer relay. We are convinced, you know, that these are extraordinary times, and extraordinary times always call for extraordinary measures. So we were convicted in our hearts and really believe that as a church, we also need to be part of the solution of the problem that we are facing right now. And so at any given hour, during the day or night, there is at least one person who is praying through this crisis. Be part of that, you know. Send the words prayer relay to our WhatsApp number, and we will include you in the daily prayer roster. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I would like to leave you with this last verse, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. This is an amazing verse during this time. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. This is God himself talking. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, things you did not know before. You know, and this is such an amazing invitation that God is giving to us. This is an invitation I do not want to pass out on. And I'm sure that you also do not want to pass out on this invitation, that God himself says he wants to show us great and mighty things. Imagine that for a moment, that he wants to show us great and mighty things, things we have never known, things we have never heard of before. This is the invitation that he is extending to you and to me. And I don't know about you. I don't want to get to it the end of my life and go to heaven and hear God say to me, I wanted to show you great and mighty things, but you were too busy. You were too preoccupied. You were focused on all the wrong things. I wanted to show you things you have never known before. I wanted to take you on an amazing adventure in the spirit, but you were too preoccupied. That would be a very sad thing to hear, and I don't want that to be said of you or of me. And so come, join us. It's not too late. Let me pray for us so that we can disperse and continue with our day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord God, that you are a God who goes with us right into the storm. Lord God, that you are a God who is right beside us, Father God. That even though, as David says, even though I may go through the situations of deep darkness, Lord God, even though I may find myself Lord God, going through the deepest valley, I will not be afraid because I know that you are right close by next to me, Father God. Help us, Father, as we go through this crisis, never to be afraid, Lord God, never to open the door to the enemy, Father God, by harboring fear in our hearts. Help us to be courageous, to be strong. Help us to keep our faith and our confidence in you, Lord God. And we pray, Father God, for each and every person who might be afraid and anxious right now, Lord God. Your word says that perfect love casts out all fear. We pray that you fill their hearts, their mind with your perfect love. Help us, Lord God, as a church, Father, to do everything we can to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Help us, Father God, that we may get involved, even though we might not do anything physically, Father God, but help us to be part of the solution. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face, Father God, to seek your will, Lord God, because we believe that you are the one who has the answer. You are the one who has the solution for our problems. We honor you, we praise you, we lift your name up in Jesus Christ's mighty name, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Have a good day. Enjoy the day, you know, with your family, with your friends.
Thank you for listening. If you haven't done so, hit the subscribe button. Our prayer is that God uses this message to speak powerfully and clearly into your life. Take some time to respond to the message you just heard. Think of a person you could send this message to. Again, thank you so much for listening.